study. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 2. On being wholehearted. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a whole heart. He wasn't wholehearted. And on Wednesday we looked at this from the point of view of being faithful and even willing to die for what we say we believe. Today we want to look at wholeheartedness from a different point of view. Galatians chapter 6, please, and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not be faint, lose heart, be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be faint-hearted. Hold on to the end. And we want to look at some scriptural examples. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, well-known portion. Be not weary in well-doing. Persevere. Be persistent and insistent. Don't let go. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. This is a separate subject all by itself. Being alone with God. It's amazing what we learn and what God does when we get alone with God. But that's not our subject. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he, the man, saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as the man wrestled with him. And he said, the man said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Holding fast, holding tight to the end. The question that has always been before me, here is a supernatural individual. Jacob is wrestling with him. And he says, let me go. That is a supernatural individual. And Jacob says to him, I won't let you go. How is that possible? How can a mere human tell a supernatural being, I won't let you go? It seems to me the supernatural being only had to knock him off, and that would be the end of it. What was the secret of Jacob's holding fast? Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12, verse 3. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3. Something has happened to my Bible. These pages are sticking together and don't want to separate. Maybe I don't use it enough. That's a possibility. But let's read. Starting at verse 2. The Lord hath a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings which he recompensed him. Now, he, Jacob, took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, that superior being that we, supreme being that we just read, and prevailed. And now we get the secret of how he prevailed. Would you believe it? He wept and made supplication. He didn't prevail through natural strength. He prevailed because he wept. And as we lay hold on the Lord, not weary in good doing, oftentimes things get very discouraging, don't they? Weep. There's an expression, I meant to write it on the board. No, not an expression, a word. Disappointment. Does anybody here know what it is to be disappointed? Oh, nobody, good. Disappointment. Now, cross off the D and put an H, and what do you get? His appointment. Our disappointments are his appointments. And we need to hold fast with weeping and praying if we are to succeed. 2 Kings chapter 4, where we had our Sunday school lesson. Second Kings chapter 4. Let's start at verse 4. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. The only woman in the Bible that's described as being a great woman, a prominent woman, an outstanding woman. And they tell me that the Bible is against women. This was a great woman. Rahab was a great woman. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, was a great woman. Read through the women of the Bible. A lot of great ones there. A great woman. She constrained him to eat. Come down, please, to verse 17. The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. He had a headache. He said to the lad, carry him to his mother. Isn't that tender? He's got a headache. He's not well. Take him to his mother. What a place mothers have in the world today. And in this great country, the mothers want to be CEOs. Want to make a lot of money. Who's going to take care of the children? Take him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Sad, isn't it? Verse 22, she called her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. He said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, it shall be well. Son is dead. Isn't that confidence? It's going to be all right. Be not weary in well-doing. Then she saddled an ass and said to the servant, drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. It came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the dead child? And she answered, it is well. And the child is dead. Be not weary in well-doing. This is faith. This is confidence. She is sure that something's going to happen, that that child is going to live. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Leave the prophet alone. Didn't they do that often with the Lord Jesus Christ when the people came with, get away, leave him alone. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then Elisha said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. Oh, but look at verse 3. Be not weary in well-doing. Persist and insist. The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And what happened? He arose and followed her. That's being persistent. That's being holding on. Now, Brother George did not get to this part yet, so I'm going to precede him in chapter 4. The increase of the widow's oil. Verse 1 says, take unto him my two sons. How many sons? Two. Verse 4 says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. Verse 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son. What happened to the other one? Be not weary in well-doing. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened to him, but I think he got tired and fell out by the way. But then there are some other examples that I'd like to call attention to. Oh, let's look at the book of Judges. You know, Satan is persistent. He doesn't give up easily. Judges chapter 16. Be not weary in well-doing. But then there are many people who are not weary in evil-doing. We have to watch out for those. Judges chapter 16, verse 16. Now, you know the story, so I'm not going to go through it. How Delilah wanted to know the secret of Samson's strength. Verse 16, it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words, and she was persistent, wasn't she? And finally he gave in. Satan is also persistent. And we need to be very, very careful when we hear his voice. But let's come now to the New Testament. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse 46. 10 and 46. There came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus, whichever you pronounce, here to pronounce it, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging.
When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many told him to keep quiet.
Did he stop? He didn't. Did he get what he wanted? Not weary in well-doing. Luke chapter 11, please. Verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine in his journey is come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, don't bother me.
Isn't that a nice answer?
Trouble me not, leave me alone. The door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence.
And that's what we need as we go on. Persistence in good work. Don't get tired of good work. Or it may take a long time. I like that verse in Habakkuk. I think I quoted it either the last time I spoke or time before. Now, it doesn't read in your Bible the way I'm going to translate it. God may be long, but he will be late. Hasn't it been a long time since he ascended and said, I'm coming again? Been a long time, huh? But you know something? He's coming on time. Don't give up. Don't be weary. Luke chapter 18. Be not weary in well-doing. Verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and don't give up, don't faint. Hold on, hold fast, persist and insist. There was in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. Do we have any people like that in the world today? That's the trouble with this country. Too many people fear God, don't fear God, and don't even have respect for men. One of the big troubles in this nation. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, because this widow is bothering me, I will avenge her. Verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night, though he bear with them long? O beloved, let's persist and continue in good works. Don't give up. Many years ago, I was about 16 or 17, we had a visitor at the assembly, a missionary. He had worked among the Arabs. And I remember very clearly he showed us how he did his work. He had a large container in front of him, held to his shoulder with 2 straps, had literature he would give to the little children and literature for this. And he did this work for 10 years. And after he finished his presentation, he said, are there any questions? First hand, well, how many people were saved in your 10 years? 2 that I know of and only 1 I'm sure of. 10 years. Question number 2, are you going back? What would you do? Would you go back? In the will of the Lord, he said, I'm going back.
not weary in well-doing. At the turn of the century, from the 19th to the 20th century, a terrible disease was worldwide, just as from the turn of the 20th to the 21st we have AIDS. At the turn of the 19th to the 20th we had the disease known as syphilis. Worldwide. Not an epidemic, a pandemic. The best treatment at that time required 2 years. And most people who had the disease never finished their treatment. They couldn't be bothered, so to speak, to have treatment for 2 years. And there was a man, a chemist. You probably have heard of him. Mr. Ehrlich was his name. And Ehrlich said, I'm going to find a chemical that will destroy the cause of syphilis. And he began. Chemical number one didn't work. The first 10 chemicals didn't work. And he tried and he tried and he tried. The first 100 didn't work. He went on to 199 and then to 200. No success. He went on to 299, 300, still no success, working day in and day out. 400, no success. 450, no success. 500, don't you think it's time for him to stop and let somebody else carry on? As we would say, or as they say, he paid his dues, didn't he? 500 different chemicals trying to cure this disease. Went down to 600. 601, 2, 3, 4, 5, 606, that did it. He was not weary in well-doing. And today, if you ask the average physician, what is the treatment for syphilis, he won't even know the name of the chemical. You say 606. That's how that chemical is described. The 606th attempt of Ehrlich, and that was successful. Be not weary in well-doing. We have Brother George here. I don't see the other George. But you know, in my little experience, all the Georges that I have met have been fine men. Great men. And here was this little boy, young boy, named George. A Sunday school teacher in the neighborhood went from house to house and invited George to come to Sunday school. George came to Sunday school 2 Sundays. And when he didn't come the 3rd and 4th Sunday, the Sunday school teacher went to his home. What had happened? George was very hard on clothes. You know how some boys are? And he had the knees of his pants torn up, the elbows torn and the pockets shredded. Spoke to the Sunday school superintendent. Let's give him a suit. And they got a nice new suit and gave to George. And George came 1 Sunday and 2 Sundays, and the 3rd Sunday he didn't show up. And when they went to inquire, George had ripped the sleeves, had holes in the knees, ruined the suit. Sunday school teacher and Sunday school superintendent got together. What shall we do? Let's try a second suit. They tried a second suit, gave George a second suit. He came 1 Sunday, the following Sunday, and then he was absent. And then, you know the story, don't you? When they went back to inquire, it was the same thing. George had destroyed the second suit. Teacher and superintendent got to get, what would you do? Would you give that child a third suit? They gave him a third suit. And they warned him, this time you are to wear that suit only when you go to Sunday school. No other time. And you know, George was obedient. And he came to Sunday school regularly. And after a while, he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And as he grew up, he was received into fellowship of that local church. And then he went on to higher education. And of all things, George was sent by the church as a missionary to China. And while there, he translated the Bible into Chinese. The third suit. Be not weary in well-doing. You know, I'm finished. It's like last time. About the shortest I've ever been, isn't it? But that's the lesson. Be not weary in well-doing. You've heard the story, I've told it myself, of the brother who came to a prayer meeting and said, I want you to rejoice with me. I have been praying for my brother to be saved for 65 years, and this morning I got a note from him that he's saved. Have you been praying for 65 years? Most of you aren't even older than 65 years old. Pray and don't think. Prayer answered after 65 years. Concluding scripture. 2 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 3, verse 13. But ye, brothers and sisters, be not weary in well-doing. That's all I have to say. I've given you back about 15 minutes of the many that I owe you. $555, please. Work, for the night is coming. Don't be discouraged. Keep at it.